Say it one more time. Say, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Father, open up the windows of heaven and pour down your blessing upon us this morning. I pray that you will anoint me to be able to speak as with the oracles of God. I take every spirit in this room under the control of God's Holy Spirit. May we be blessed this morning by your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. All God's people said amen. First Chronicles is where we're reading from, the 12th chapter. First Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 8. I'd like for us to read together. First Chronicles 12, 8. Let's read. And of the Gadites, they are separated themselves unto David into the hold. Men of might. Fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as a rose upon the mountains. That is one passage that is pregnant with truth. It has to do with a season in the life of David. It was a season when he went through intense enmity from Saul, the king of Israel. As you all know, Saul was determined to eliminate David because of his destiny. Do you realize that many of us this morning can identify with David because of the fact that, like David, the bulk of the battles that we are fighting have to do with hatred for our destinies. Hatred for our destinies. But my prayer for you this morning is that as David overcame, you will overcome also. The enemies of your destiny shall not prevail over you. You didn't hear my prayer. I said the enemies of your destiny shall not prevail over you. No matter how close they are to capturing you, somehow, you will escape. Maybe I should pray that prayer again. Because so many times Saul got close to capturing David, but he always escaped. I prophesy to you this morning, you will always escape. No matter how close your enemy gets to you, somehow God will provide a way of escape for you in Jesus' name. See, David was destined for the throne, and he got to the throne. Whatever and wherever your throne is, by the grace of God, you will get there. Since there is no testimony without a test, since there is no triumph without trial, since there is no gain without pain, you need to endure whatever you are going through right now and fight the good fight of faith, and at the end you will triumph like David triumphed. Your amen is too weak. My focus this morning is really not about David, but I had to first say a few words about him because this was his story. My real focus this morning has to do with God's testimony of some of the people who are fighting for David and fighting with David. Obviously, we know the rest of the story. They won, and I believe you will win also. But what I want to do this morning is lift something out of that passage and show you a quality that you must possess . Let me repeat that. I would like to lift out of that passage something important, a quality that you must possess if the end of your story is going to be like that of David and his men. Let me read that passage again. And of the Gadites, or Gadites, they have separated themselves unto David into the hold, to the wilderness, men of might and men of war fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and they were swift as the roars upon the mountains. Now, if you look at that verse closely, there are many qualifications that guarantee success in the battles of life. Many qualifications. David's men were described as men of might. Ah, God will make you a man and a woman of might. All weaknesses in your life, the power of God will swallow them up. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. David's men were also described as men that could handle shield and buckler. That is an important qualification to success in warfare, but that's not what I'm talking about today. David's men were also described as men whose faces were like the faces of lions. That is an important qualification, but that's not what I'm talking about this morning. David's men were also described as men whose feet were as swift as roars upon the mountains. Not just roars on the plain ground, but roars upon the mountains. That is, they don't tire easily. That's a good qualification. But that's not my focus this morning. My focus this morning is that qualification that is mentioned before all these that I just talked about. My focus is the fact, hear me, that these men were described, listen to this, as men of war fit for the battle. Jesus, I have a word for you. Listen to me very well. They were described as men of war fit for the battle. You see, everyone involved in spiritual warfare can be described as men and women of war. It's impossible to say you're a member of this church or you're a friend of this church and not say you're a man of war. Every one of you are men and women of war. The intensity of your prayers show that you're a man of war. The wordings of your petitions confirm that you are a woman of prayer. We were here on Friday night for all night prayer, and the prayers that were prayed here, I just shook my head and I was saying, wow, this is a serious group of people intensely warring against the powers of darkness. We see it in your petitions. We also see it in your self-denial. Your self-denial to fast confirm that you are a person of war. I was told there is a church that is fasting for 70 days. 70 days. Someone told me one day, he said, Bishop, I fasted for 365 days. See, we do that because of our belief that some things will never break except by prayer and fasting. Men and women of war. I want you to help me shake the hand of the person beside you and say, congratulations. You are a man or a woman of war. Congratulations. Congratulations. You're a man or woman of war. There's hope for you. There's real hope for you. There's real hope for you. That's something I love about this church. Filled with a bunch of men and women of war. But there is a problem. Hear me now. It is one thing to be a man of war, it is another thing to be fit for the battle. It is very interesting to see how the sentence here is constructed. See, the Holy Spirit could have instructed the writer to just say, the men of David were men of war. And the sentence will have been complete. No need to add anything else. But the Holy Ghost said, no. If you just call them men of war, they will still be defeated. If you just call them, many men of war are dead in the battlefield. So God saw it fit to add a four-word character explaining the type of men that should be men of war. He said, these are men of war, but they are also fit for the battle. Hear me, people. If we are to fight the good fight of faith and win, if we are to wrestle against spiritual darkness in high places and succeed, we have to not only fight, but fight fit. Are you listening to Bishop this morning? I told you we will preach balanced gospel in this church. There are too many men of war fighting on feet for the battle. There are too many women of war holding night vigils, but they are on feet. There are too many men and women in deliverance churches fasting for 365 days, fasting for 70 days, going out of town and missing churches to lock themselves up, to seek the face of God, but they are fasting for days and for weeks, and they come back with nothing because they are on feet. There are many that are doing Daniel's fast, but they are as unfit as Nebuchadnezzar. No wonder. With all our spiritual credentials, we still lose big time against the hosts of hell. Hear me, people. Hear, Bishop. Don't just major on warfare. Major on being fit for the battle. Don't go around parading yourself as a man of war. Don't go around parading yourself as a warfare champion. Don't just go around proclaiming yourself as a general in warfare. Don't just go around claiming that you are a demon buster. Because a man can make all these claims and still be on feet. Consequently, precious hearts, we get beat up and there is no evidence to back up our claim. Pray this prayer after me. Say, oh Lord, make me fit for the battle of life. Say it again. Say, oh Lord, make me fit for the battle of life. I wanted to look at that statement one more time. He said his men were men of war. Fit for the battle. You know, there are many prayer warriors in churches that are not fit to even enter the prayer room. Do you know there are many deliverance workers that need deliverance themselves? Do you know there are many people who go around and say, I'm a man of war, I'm a man of this, I'm a man of that, when actually they need to go to the altar and say, God, I'm a misfit. At the risk of sounding redundant, let me repeat what I said earlier. It is possible to have the title man of war, woman of war, and people call you from all over the country. You even have this prayer thing that is so common now all over America. They call it prayer line. And people call you, 1,000 people on your prayer line, 3,000 people on your prayer line, but they don't know you. They call you early in the morning. You are the first person they talk to or hear his voice. They call you in the night. You are the last person they hear his voice. And they say, if you hear his prayer points, If you hear his prophetic utterances, but he's a misfit, you don't know him. You don't know her. It's possible to carry the title of a man of war and yet be unfit for the battle. You know, sometimes I wonder, with all the prayers we pray, with all the bindings we bind, with all the loosings we lose, how come the devil looks so untouchable? How come? The reason is very simple. There are many men and there are many women of war that are just blowing hot air. They have a name that they are alive, but in reality, they are misfits. They are dead. You know, it's. Let me bring it home. We see this all around us all the time. Somebody who has the ability and the potential to do something, but something makes them unfit to do it. We see it in the world of sports. Haven't you seen a good team? Soccer team, football team, NHL team. Powerful team that's been winning games one after the other, games one after the other. Then suddenly, injury plagues the team. And they begin to lose. They begin to lose. They begin to lose. Are they not good sportsmen? Yes, they are. But they are unfit for the battle. Whatever injury you have sustained, may God deliver you. Do you know there are many people who have already been injured trying to fight and they cannot win? Just last week, this last week, a story shocked the world of sports. And I read the story on the website of NFL. Let me read to you what it says. Maybe part of it. It says, Detroit Lions running back Jerome Harrison was scheduled to undergo surgery Friday for a brain tumor that was revealed during a physical this week, according to the Detroit Free Press, which cited three teammates. The Lions announced on Friday that Harrison was placed, now listen now, Harrison, an incredible football player, because of this problem, was placed on reserve, non-football illness list, ending his season. Turn to somebody and tell them your season will not end. Your season will not come to an end. Ah! Put your hand on your chest. Say, my season will not abruptly come to an end. But things that make people unfit can sideline you. See, I shall not be sidelined. This man wasn't planning for this. He wasn't planning for this. Philadelphia Eagle team doctors Thursday revealed that he had a tumor. This was how they found out. He took a physical following the Tuesday trade that sent Harrison and a 2018 draft pick to the Eagles for running back Ronnie Brown. They said, it's all right, we are trading you to this team. And so when they got to the team, they said, all right, before we allow you to play, we want to check you out. We know you can play. You see, it's only in the church. It's only in the church that somebody brings a credential and said, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. And if the leadership of the church say, let's check him out first. Everybody will fight the leadership. Why do you want to check him out? Don't you see he can do this? Don't you see he can do that? He won this game. He won that game. He won that game. The fact that you won the game doesn't mean you are fit right now. I used to have a young man in my church in Alabama. He came to me privately. He used to work with the children's church. Came to my house. We sat in my little car. And he said, Bishop, I want to step down from working with the children. I said, well, how? Nobody can do it like you. He said, I'm on feet. He said, I'm on feet. I said, what do you mean? And he told me what is going on in his life. I said, ah? I said, you're a good man. I said, many people will still keep on doing it. even though they are fit. So I told him, I said, take time off and see me once a week so we pray together. So I pulled him out of the children's church. He sat down inside the church doing nothing. Hey, the war that came after me. The war that came after me. Do you expect me to go before the church and tell them what happened between me and him? That was a private conversation between. I'm not going to tell you, but the war. Why would you pass? The only thing that saved me was that he was from my tribe. Because I would have been accused of tribalism. And when the war started against you, why should you not let him lead the children? Why should you not? I said, it's none of your business. I'm the one God called to do this work. And I answer to God for whatever I do in this church. And so I called him. I said, you know, you see what people are saying? I said, this is why I said this work is tough. This work is dangerous. I can't explain to them. And at the same time, I don't want to say you should go back until you have recovered. By the grace of God, you will recover. Amen. By the grace of God. Because many of us have things in our lives. Listen, you can be unfit and still sing. You can be unfit and still preach, like I'm preaching. You can be unfit and still do deliverance. But you might die in the process. So when they traded Mr. Harrison, before they started rejoicing, hey, we have a good football player. We have a great football player. We have a mighty warrior. He said, hold on, send him to the doctor. Send him to the doctor. But there's nothing wrong with send him to the doctor. Let him do a physical. When he finishes the physical, the result of the physical will determine whether we will use him or not. Not his performance on the field. But his performance when the curtains are drawn. His performance that nobody knows about. Check his head. Check his back. Check his bones. Check his cells. See, maybe there is something in him that makes him unfit. This someone has sent me to prayer. Because it's possible for me to stand before you and you look at me as a mighty warrior. And before God, God says, I don't look at outward appearance. I look in the heart. The man is unfit. The man is unfit. So they sent Harrison to do surgery. To do the physical. And you know, it was physical that was supposed to be done. 1, 2, 3, 4, go to the field. And they said, Mr. Harrison, you cannot play. We found something inside your brain. It's a tumor. It's developing. And you know what is so funny? Before now, he has been having headaches. He's been having headaches. And they thought, everybody has headaches. Migraines. It's migraines. So they will give him glasses to wear. Maybe it's the sun. It's this, this is that. But those were symptoms that something is wrong. Let me tell you something. I don't have to know that something is wrong with you. All I need to see are the symptoms. And many, many, many times, those who have eyes to see will see symptoms. And they will say, Master, you are unfit. Auntie, you are unfit. And then he throws a fit. People who are unfit will throw a fit. But not Harrison. You know what Harrison did? He said, I thank God that they found this thing when it can be operated. You know the prayer that I've been praying since I found this truth? Lord, check me out. Hey! Check me out. See if there be any wicked way in me. That man cannot see. That the naked eyes cannot see. That only you can see. And cut it out. There are many, 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 many warriors that are carrying tumors around. Spiritual tumors. And they are still fighting spiritual warfare. It will destroy you in the process. So they pull the man aside and they say, sorry, we cannot accept the trade. And last Friday, It was planned for him to do such. Take this prayer after me. Say, whatever is in my life making me unfit for the battles of life, say, fire of God, consume them now. Open your mouth and pray that prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, whatever is in my life right now making me unfit for the battles of life, oh Lord, consume and destroy them. Whatever is inside my life that is making me unfit for the battles of life, oh Lord, let your fire destroy and consume them. Open your mouth and pray right now. Whatever is in my life that makes me unfit for the battles of life, fire of God, destroy them right now. Father, whatever is in my heart, whatever is in my mind, whatever is in the way I talk, whatever is in the way I think, whatever is in the way I behave, that is not helping me in the battles of life, Father, let your fire destroy them, let your fire consume them, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In Jesus' name we pray. So every spiritual tumor growing inside me, making me unfit for the battles of life, say, fire of God, destroy them. Open your mouth and pray that one in the mighty name of Jesus. Every spiritual tumor growing inside me, making me unfit for the battles of life, I command you to be dissolved by fire. I command you to be dissolved by fire. I command you to be dissolved by fire. Every spiritual tumor growing inside me, Lord, whatever it is that is growing inside me that makes me unfit for battles of life, I command them to be destroyed by the fire of God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in Jesus' name we pray. Say, my Father, examine me. Come on, open your mouth. Say, examine me. Whatever is unknown to me, making me unfit for the battles of life, reveal them in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray for yourself. Oh Lord, give me divine examination this morning. Whatever is in me that is unknown to me, or that I see but I discountenance, that I see that I look away from, oh Lord, that are not helping me in the battles of life, Father, reveal them, expose them to me, make me to see them the way you see them, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus mighty name we pray. I want us to pray for Jerome Harrison this morning. Say, Lord, touch Jerome Harrison and remove his brain tumor. Open your mouth and pray for him in the name of Jesus. Father, touch this young man wherever he may be right now. Remove the tumor in his head and just deliver him completely. Give him complete recovery. Make him fit to be a footballer. Make him fit to be a football player. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Make him fit. Oh God, deliver him and heal him and set him free and restore him. Oh God, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Men of war, fit for the battle. That should be your goal in life. You need to say to Daddy, Daddy, I don't want to just be called a woman of war. I want to be fit for the battle. If you are unfit, you will lose battles. You may even lose your life in the battles. Let me show you a few scriptures before we pray. Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 41. Deuteronomy 1 41. This is serious. There's a bunch of scriptures, but I'll give you maybe three because of time. And then you can do the research when you get home to find out for yourself that it is possible to to be a warrior but unfit for the battle. Let me come to you as we're doing Bible study for 1 minute. Give me examples of people in the Bible who were warriors, serious warriors, but at a particular time in their lives, they became unfit for battle. Chairman said, Samson. Samson was a man of war. Y'all know he was a man of war. There was a man who would just take the pillars of the entrance of a city and just carry it. Like they say in my country, carry go. Just carry go. Just carry the whole pillar. And I'm not talking about small pillar. Huge pillar. Carry it on his back. Serious warrior. Here's a man that met a lion. Huh? And with the jawbone of an ass, he killed the lion. And the lion brought honey. He ate the honey. Serious warrior. I can go on and on and on and on and on. But this man was unfit for battle. He had been playing hooky. Have you ever seen people who sleep close to the side of the bed, hoping that they will not fall off? One day you will fall off and break your neck. Have you ever seen people who get so close to doing wrong, and they just dangle there? Come, cannot get me. You cannot get me. Na 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 na. You cannot get me. You like that song, sons? He loves the song. Na na na. I got that from my children. You cannot get me. And that's exactly what Samson was doing. Exactly. He will sleep with a prostitute in the night. And then in the morning he will go and fight. And he will still win. He kept on doing that. He kept on doing that. But he did not know that God was giving him. God will catch you one day. I'm telling you, this thing will catch up. Hey! This thing will catch up with you one day. And then one day he found his match. In the name of Auntie Deal. She's the one who had the raw deal. And you know the story. Made him sleep. Turn to somebody and help me ask them, where did you sleep last night? You can't answer, where did you sleep last night? Sleeping around in the wrong bed, exactly. Sleeping around in the wrong bed. But this man didn't even sleep on a bed, he slept on a lap. Slept on a lap. By the time he woke up, his hair was gone. See, my former pastor, my ex-pastor used to tell us something, that you cannot sleep on Delilah's lap and wake up on Abraham's bosom. that's what pastor used to tell us. You cannot sleep on Delilah's lap and wake up on Abraham's, no matter how you try it. So they woke him up. Samson, the enemies are here. And the Bible says he shook himself as at other times. See, this thing will fail you one day. As at other times. And the Bible says he wist not that the Spirit had left him. The Holy Spirit had gone. The power was gone. And they came. Samson, powerful Samson. Anointed Samson. You know what they did to him? They took out his eyes. They made him to go and grind. That's what I mean when I say to you, a man may be a man of war, but he can be unfit for the battle. And that's my own prayer. Whatever is in my life that makes me unfit. You know what is so funny is, when people see you as man of war, they will be inviting you to places. Invitation upon invitation will pile up like this. Invite you to this, invite you to that, invite you to that. Come and help us cast out devils here. Come and help us heal the sick here. Your phone will be ringing off the hook, but they don't know you're unfit. If I were you, I would turn off my phone. I would tell AT&T, suspend it. So when they call, they can't reach you until you become fit. Any other person in the Bible other than Solomon? Saul. Unfit. A man of war. Saul was a man of war. He fought and won so many wars. But he has been now he has started visiting sorcerers. He has started visiting palm readers. And check me out. He has started visiting necromancers who are calling up the dead. And you know what is so funny? If I were Samson, if I were Saul, I would have crawled into a hole like Gaddafi. But rather than crawl into a hole, Saul called for war. And he went. Master, you're a man of war for real. But you know, at this point in your life, you're unfit for battle. You will not come back alive. And you know the story as much as I do. Not only did he die, he lost Jonathan. Jonathan. You know what is so sad? Jonathan was pure. Jonathan was clean. Jonathan was holy. Jonathan was good. But he was in the same boat and in the same camp with a Jonah. And when the wind of adversity is blowing against a man that is unfit, that you are trusting in, you are finished. You are finished. Turn to somebody and tell them, he's telling the truth. He's telling the truth. Me, I know I'm telling the truth. You may not like what I'm saying. This is raw truth. You may hate me for it all. You may hate, I don't care. Turn to somebody and tell the bishop doesn't care. As long as he's telling the truth. Me, I will tell you the truth. Because by the truth, you shall be set free. If you want to fight the truth, then you are fighting God. I'm saying to you that you may be a man or a woman of war, but you might be unfit for the battle. And if you fight unfit, you will die unfit. Give me one more person. We have seen Samson. We have seen Saul. Give me somebody else who has an SSS. Solomon. King Solomon. Well, Solomon even died in his house. He was fortunate. Ananias and Sapphira. Unfit for the battle. I want you to be careful. Who? Yes. David. I'm going to read something about David. It has nothing to do with Bathsheba. It has nothing to do with Bathsheba. Because everything we've talked about now is sin. I want you to listen to me. It's not only sin that makes you unfit. Do you know that tiredness can make you unfit too? Do you know that injury, after you fought and you have been injured in the battle, can make you unfit? And yet, the thing that is scary is this. Regardless of what makes you unfit, if you fight unfit, you will be defeated. So you need to deal with whatever makes you unfit. Please don't get me wrong. You will still carry the title of a man of war. Your armor will still be on you. The honor will still be on you. The respect will still be on you. But if you check the record in heaven, you will say, man of war, but unfit for the battle. By now you should have got to where I told you to turn to. This is a pack of the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 1. You're still there? And look at what I'm about to read in verse 1, verse 41. Then ye answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight. These are dummies. Honestly. We have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight. Eh? If it were me, I have sinned against the Lord. I run for my life. I sin against the Lord on Thursday. Then Brother God calls me to come and do deliverance on Sunday for people. Eh? Before they say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, I'm putting on my shoes and I'm taking my bag, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me as I run from the church because I am on feet. Am I making sense? But after what you did on Thursday, you still bring your extended chest and say, come out. Come out by fire. Come out by fire. And it comes straight inside you. Turn to somebody and tell them, he's telling the truth, Joe. He's telling the truth. It's true. Then he answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight. Those two things don't mix. Because once you sin against the Lord, you are unfit. No matter how great a warrior you are, according to all that this, the Lord our God commanded us, And when he had gathered on every man his weapons of war, ye were ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said unto me, Moses, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you. You are unfit, lest you be smitten before your enemies. Ah, my people, when there is sin in your life, you are unfit. And the easiest sin is unforgiveness and bitterness. Unforgive, you are just bitter in your heart. You are angry. You are mad. You cannot fight and win. You will always be a loser. And the funny thing is, the person that you are mad with, the person you are bitter with, the person you are angry with, she's going on with her life. It's Brother Sunday who always says this when he does communion. He said, nobody deserves that honor. Nobody deserves the honor. Let go and let God. Don't hold it in. Let it go. Or else you'll get to the battlefield and you'll be beaten up with all your bazookas and AK-47s. So I spake unto you that ye should not hear, but ye will not hear in verse 43. But you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and went what? Presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites, which dwelt in that mountain, came out against you. What did they do? They chased you as bees do and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Homer. And you returned and wept before the Lord. But the Lord will not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. Turn to somebody and tell them, you will not be destroyed. But don't destroy yourself. Listen, the tumor of sin, anger, pride, bitterness, unforgiveness, and whatnot, the tumor of sin will make a warrior unfit for battle. There's a book I gave to some of you some years ago. It's called The Occultic Master, Now in Christ. He told a story in one of his books. I don't know if it's in that book or another book, about a pastor that came to witness to him. The pastor came with two ladies from his church, and they were doing witnessing. I said, you need to give your life. They did not know he's an occultic person. You need to give your life to Jesus. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. He said he was angry because he was about to do something very, very important. So he said he looked at the pastor, and he x-rayed him. And he saw that he was sleeping with one of the girls with whom he came. None of you in this church can accuse me of sleeping with you. None of you. You know why? That is incest. When a pastor sleeps with his member, it's incest. Because the pastor is the father, and the girls in the church are the daughters. When you sleep with the girls in the church, you are committing incest. So this man just finished incest with Auntie Jezebel. And they still went out. You know, some people don't care how. They will sin and they will still do the things of God. They will seek and evangelize. They will sin and evangelize. Unfortunately, I say, your sin will catch up with you one day. Unfortunately, that day was an occultist they came to. And the occultist said he was so angry that how can a man like this witness to me? He said, what do I do? Do I kill him on the spot? Because he could kill him on the spot because he was now unfit. The covering was gone. The protection was gone. He was a man of war. He knows scriptures, a man of war. He could quote scriptures, a man of war. He could preach, a man of war. Yet, unfit for battle. If I were him, I would be in the house. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I've fallen. Lord, I've fallen. I've done what is wrong. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. Forgive me for sleeping with Sister Bucket Mouth. I am so sorry. Lord, please have mercy upon me. Lord, I've done wrong. Forgive me, oh Lord. Have mercy on me. And you know what? God will have mercy. And then you can go and witness, and it will work. The man said, no, I will not kill him. So the man said, he looked down and said, how many members do you have? He told him, I said, if this man has this many members, if I can initiate him, then he can help me initiate all his church members. You know, that's exactly what he did. He manipulated the man into initiation. And then the man turned around to be his disciple inside the church. Better be careful which church you go to. Be careful. People just run from church to church. Oh, that man is a hammer in the hand of God. It's an axe in the hand of God. It's a battle weapon in the hand of God. When he prays like this, fire will come out of his mouth. No, no, we need to go there. That our pastor, he cannot preach. This one, he can preach. He will be coming to Atlanta, Georgia. Let's fly there. And then he will miss you on Sunday. You go there. You don't know this man. And the spirit that is on him, you pick it up when you go. Especially if you are one of those that he lays hands on. Be careful. You're shopping around. Another prophet is in town. Another seer is in town. This man is the power of God. Only God knows who is who. You see me, I'm standing here, I'm preaching, my mouth is sweet. Only you don't know me. Only God knows me. God knows me. We depend too much on human beings. So, the Amorites came out like bees and chased them. You know what is so amazing now? They came back. You know the children of Israel are weeping Jeremiah's. They came back. They did their usual thing. Why did you fail us? I didn't fail you. You failed me. Say, everywhere I failed you, Lord, forgive me by fire. Let me show you another scripture. I've showed you sin. If you have nothing to motivate you against sin, the fact that it makes you unfit should be a good motivation. Because there is power inside you. Not only that you have the anointing to fight, there is the fitness that makes you a fighter. And sin will take that fitness from you. Let me give a bad illustration. A bad illustration, but it illustrates the point. Even the people in the world who do evil, who are known to be evil people, they don't just do evil alone. They look for power that makes them fit. And once they swallow that power, unless you dislodge that power in them, they will still be mighty, mighty, mighty in whatever they do. I remember several years ago, there was an arm robber. Notorious arm robber in Nigeria. Notorious. This man will kill you without mercy. And the amazing thing is, if you throw him in prison, by the time you go there the next day, he's no more there. Wall it with fire. He will pass through the fire. So he had made policemen look so useless. He had made the army look so useless because he was a fit robber. You know, there are some robbers that are not fit. I was watching some robbers on TV, on True TV, last week. They went to rob a convenience store. And one jumped to the back of the thing. And the other one was here. And the other one that jumped to carry the money was slow. He was slow. So the other one was calling him, Carl, 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 let's go, Carl. And it was being recorded, his name. He was calling his name, the real name. That one is a useless robber. That one is a robber on feet. And he was calling Carl, Carl, Carl. So not only do they have a picture. I just shook my head. Said, this one is a useless thief. I can tell you many more, but we're not preaching on stealing this morning. So the commissioner of police, who himself is deep, said this man must have swallowed something. said, there's something in him that makes him so fit. He said, call him. They brought him. He said, do you know that I will deal with you? The thief looked at him and smiled. He said, you deal with me? He said, when I'm doing operations, somebody like you cannot talk to me like this. So he told him, take him to the hospital and do scan for him. Uncle Mo, they scanned his stomach and found he had swallowed something. That was his power that made him escape anywhere they locked him up. The commissioner of police said, take it out of him. When they took it out of him, he became an ordinary man. Ah! Whatever God has made you swallow, the enemy will not take it from you. Whatever power is inside you that is making you strong in the Lord and in the power of your might, whatever power is inside you that is making you fit, the enemy will not take it from you. When you are asleep, it will remain there. When you are awake, it will remain there. In the midst of battle, it will remain there. In the name of Jesus. So they took the man. They tied him to a stick and fired him. If that thing was still inside him, the bullet would not enter him. No matter what, the bullet, it would not enter him. But this one, it cut him to pieces. And that's how he died. If you mention his name in my country, this is over 20 years, maybe even 30. His name is still known everywhere. They made him unfit. The name will do you no good. Hallelujah. What time do I have? 8 minutes. 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 1. I want to show you another warrior. This one, I read it and I just say, God, you just have to help us. Do you know that you can fight till you are tired of fighting? Ah, I pray you will never be tired. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you know what, you get to a point where you are just tired of praying. And you know what the enemy will do? He will manipulate you to stop praying so he can destroy you. 2 Samuel 21:15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed. What's the next point? Faint. Turn to somebody, you will never be faint. Never be faint. They went to battle, and in the middle of the battle, he became faint. Ah, David. Ah, you know David now? Ah! David, the warrior of Israel. Never tired. Never weak. Never wearied. But after so many battles, a day came that on the battlefield, he was faint. And you know what? Listen to Bishop O. When you become faint, you are a potential casualty. When you become faint. Faint in prayer. Faint in fasting. Faint in the things of God. You are about to faint. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, no, let's go to 16. And Ishbi-Nebednob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being guarded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. See, listen. The enemies look for the one that is unfit. No, the enemies won't bother those who are fit. He looks for the one that is unfit. So they look and say, ah, something is wrong with this papa. This papa used to be strong, used to be mighty, used to be a warrior. This papa is weak, he's faint. So the guy brought his sword. He said, I'm going to kill him. But God will send a deliverer to you. Verse 17 says, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Look at the next statement. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, what did they say? Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, but that thou quench not the light. That was the last battle that David fought. That was the last battle. He said, because if you fight faint, you will be a casualty. But the problem is this. David could stay home and not fight because he had people fighting for him. Who is fighting for you? Huh? Even the people that you tell, please be praying for me, is a lie. They won't pray.
They are not even praying for themselves, not to talk of you. So, whether you like it or not, you have to overcome your faintness. You have to tell the Lord, renew my strength. Renew the grace in me. Renew the power in me. Renew the anointing in me. So I can go and not be weary and not be tired. And fight until the victory is won. I wish I had time to read another scripture. It was when David came back to Ziklag. I believe it was. And his wives were gone. His children were gone. And those of his followers. And then he said, let's pursue them and overtake them and win this battle back. But the Bible says there were 200 men. They were too faint to fight. I don't know about you. After you have gone through the trauma of loss, after you yourself in the battle of life has become a casualty, if you are not careful, all the spirit in you will disappear. You will just sit down like this in church. Everybody's reading Bible, you will not read it. Everybody's praying, you are not praying. Everybody's smiling, you are not smiling. You are in church physically, but your spirit is far from the church. Hey! You are an easy casualty at that season. In the hand of the wicked one. Maybe you have suffered loss of a job. You know, this is a season when people lose their job a lot. You suffered your loss of job. And then somebody is calling prayer point. And you say, which prayer point? The one that we prayed that never helped us to keep our job. Now we are going to start praying again. Let's just finish service. Let me go and eat. They call for Daniel fast. You are doing Ezekiel fast. Why? Because you've been a casualty. So when they saw David and David was going, they said, no, we are not going. I want you to notice, though. I want you to notice. Listen to Bishop. Their wives were among the people that they were going for. Their children were among the people that they were going for. But they were so tired that they didn't even care if their wives are recovered or not. They were so tired. They didn't even care if their children were recovered or not. That's what happens when you're on feet. You say, even myself, I cannot save me. Talk less going after my wife or my children. If they can perish, let them perish. But by the grace of God, new strength will come into your life. New power will come into your life. New grace will come into your life. And you know what? Some of you have been praying for personal revival. Your revival is here this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Where you are weak and down and low and depressed and oppressed, the Lord will lift you up and give you new grace and give you new strength by fire, by force, in the name of Jesus Christ. Rest upon your feet and let us pray. Wish I had more time, but I don't. I have 2 minutes, 25 seconds. I want us to pray this morning. Say, whatever is in my life, making me unfit for the battles of life. Say, fire of God, consume them now. Open your mouth and pray that prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever is in my life making me unfit for the battles of life, Father, let your fire consume them. Let your fire consume them in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever is in my life right now making me unfit for the battles of life, Father, let your fire destroy them. Let your fire consume them in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever is in my life that is making me unfit, I know I'm a man of battles. I know I'm a man of war. I know I'm a woman of war. But at this point in my life, there are things inside my life that is making me to be unfit for battles. Oh Lord, let your fire burn them. Let your fire consume them. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whatever is in my life making me unfit for battles, let your fire consume them, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, oh Lord, my God, help me, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Say, as you delivered David from being a battle casualty, say, oh Lord, deliver me by fire.
Open your mouth and pray that prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. As you deliver David from being a battle casualty, oh Lord, deliver me this afternoon. In the name of Makorebakaba, oh Lord, as you deliver David from being a battle casualty, oh Lord, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as you deliver David from being a battle casualty, I want you to deliver me also in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, my Father, where I am already fainting in the battle of life. Say, my Father, where I am already fainting in the battle of life. Revive me by fire. Open your mouth and let us pray that prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. We are already fainting. We are already fainting. Or maybe we have even already fainted in the battle of life. Revive me this morning. Revive me this morning. Revive me this morning. Revive me this morning. We are already fainting. God will revive me this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. We are already discouraged. Father, revive me this morning. We are already depressed. Father, revive me this morning. We are already down. Father, lift me up this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh God, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Say, every spirit of weariness, every spirit of tiredness, making me to lose my grip on the sword of the spirit, be destroyed by fire. Spirit of weariness, spirit of tiredness, lose your hold upon my life. Open your mouth and pray that prayer in the Makoli Beke Setanadakoshata. Every spirit of weariness and every spirit of tiredness making me loose, making me unfit for battle. Every spirit of weariness and every spirit of tiredness. Yeah. Ah, Daddy, every spirit of weariness and every spirit of tiredness making me lose my grip on the sword of the spirit. That I'm handling the sword and it's dropping in my hand. That I look at the sword and I don't even want to carry the sword and I still want to go to the battlefield. Father, destroy weariness. Father, destroy tiredness. Father, destroy discouragement. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, God! I wanted to pray that prayer, please. Spirit of weariness, spirit of tiredness, making you to lose the grip on the sword of the spirit, must lose its hold upon your life. Yes, Lord Jesus, help me. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I just wanted to touch somebody's hand beside you and say, my Father, let discouragement not make this person battle weary. Pray for that person in Namakore Debe Shatara. Discouragement will not make you battle weary. Discouragement will not make you weary of battles. Discouragement will not make you weary of fights. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Discouragement will not make you battle weary, but you will be revived. I want you to speak revival into his life. Speak revival into her life. Tell the Lord, revive him, revive her. In the mighty name of Jesus. New strength, let it be her portion. New strength, let it be his portion. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh God, do it! Yes, Jesus. Hey! In Jesus' name we pray. I can break hand. I want to pray for you. Whatever you have lost, may God recover it for you. May it not become an instrument of faintness in your life. Whatever you have lost that just wants to make you sit down in one spot and lose interest in everything. May God deliver you by fire. May the spirit of encouragement, may it come upon your life. Ah, as you wait on God, may your strength be renewed. May grace for renewal of strength be your portion in the name of Jesus. The way you used to pray, the way you used to fast, the way when prayer was easy, easy does it was prayer for you. May that season return into your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Your wife that is lost, your husband that is lost, your children that are lost, that are far, 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 far away. They've been kidnapped, they've been taken away. You shall recover all. In the mighty name of Jesus, the grace to battle in warfare for them, may it be given to you afresh in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever is in your life making you unfit for the battles of life, may they be destroyed this afternoon. I said, may they be destroyed this afternoon. As you leave this place, I speak new grace into your life. I speak new strength into your life. I speak new power into your life. I speak new anointing into your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, whatever makes you unfit, may they be drowned in the blood of Jesus Christ. May you run and never be weary. May you walk and never faint. From this moment on, you are moving forward. You are growing stronger. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. Shall fire! God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.